Lord, as we enter our fifth week of Easter, we give you thanks and praise for our scripture readings that remind us that through the grace of the Holy Spirit, you will always help us when we're in a difficult situation. With grace and guidance, that we can discern your will, and as we face challenging times, we know that you're with us and you have indeed prepared a place for each one of us. So help us never to forget that we're citizens of heaven. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Oh, it's great to be back with you again. I've never had jet lag so bad in my life. I almost missed Mass last night. It was 4:58, and I was in the back bedroom sleeping, and someone came in and shook me and said, "Father, it's time for Mass." I go, "Oh, no." I guess the older you get, the more those adjustments take a little time. But it was a great pilgrimage, and I really appreciate your prayers, and we had a wonderful time. It was very different than the first time 16 years ago for a number of reasons. I guess it's kind of the newness and excitement, and you're just clicking hundreds of photos. I did take a lot of photos. I'm relying on the pilgrims to send me their photos because they were, some of them, it was their first time, and so they were sending me photos. But it's very different, you know. In 2007, things were a little more friendly, kind of, and they've just, it's just changed a lot. And our guide, a Catholic Christian, really well versed in the Bible, I'm like, wow, I've never met someone like you. He's just quoting scripture constantly and showing us the connections of the events and the Holy Land and everything. But he was talking about how difficult it is for him to live there. There's only 1% of Christians now in the Holy Land. When I was there in 2007, it was 2%. And the government is just getting more and more extreme. And so he was saying that he has to pay twice as many taxes. He doesn't have the right to vote because he's not Jewish. He's a Christian. He tried to get a condominium for his family. When they found out his name and that he's not Jewish, they said, "Oh, we don't have anything for you." So it's really sad to see how the Christians are getting pushed out in the Holy Land. And that whole thing about, you know, God started, we know the Jewish people are the chosen people of God. I've never seen anything bad about them. You know, I really believe that. But Isaiah 25, that I'm putting you here to be a light to the nations, and all these people of every race, language, and way of life will stream to the mountain for instruction. And it's like they're forgetting that and becoming so exclusive that they're excluding people. And it's just, it was just a very different atmosphere from when I went in 2007. But pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, the Songs of Ascent, Psalms of Ascent. And the neatest thing, the takeaway that I got was that our faith is not based on owning a particular piece of property, right? The only property I own is a grave. I bought it like 20-something years ago. I made payments over 4 years. And I have the title to it, a little grave there at Calvary Cemetery. I'm going to stretch out someday and give back to the earth, you know? But I can go anywhere in the world and celebrate Mass. I remember once being way up in the Northwest Territories with my father, and we were in a little tiny cabin, and there was a little ledge on the window, and that was my little altar. And I had Mass with him, just the two of us there. He didn't know all the Mass parts, so I was kind of ribbing him a little bit. "Dad, come on, how many years have you been Catholic?" But I think he just got nervous. And I just thought, isn't this neat that I can go anywhere in the world and celebrate Mass and take Jesus with me and celebrate him and share him with people? And that our faith is not bound, that, well, we have to have this land, this is a promise, this is all we have, and this is ours. That we're not restricted like that, right? But it's a special thing to go there and to retrace the steps of Jesus. The Church of the Holy Sepulchre, my back went out that day. There was a two-hour wait to get in and touch the tomb of Jesus, so I just left the group and sat against a nice, cool marble wall and prayed for people. And some of the people were commenting how rude people were pushing them out of line and everything. And I thought to myself, you know, Jesus died for that annoying person too. He died for all of us, whether we're polite or annoying. He laid down his life for all of us. But for me, that was the least spiritual place. It's just so chaotic, and I just kind of just took it in and just prayed and interceded for the people going there. But some other people had marvelous experiences there, very emotional experiences when they got to go in finally after 2 hours and touch the spot where they buried him and he rose again. So God touches us in different ways, but it was a wonderful trip. I'll finish up the blogs. We don't have any internet. Someone cut the wire to the fiber optic wire for our offices. I never realized how much we rely on the internet until you don't have it. I can't set my alarm. I can't play music. I can't do a lot of things. And it's like, wow, we become so dependent on the internet. What if it just goes away someday? We'd be paralyzed, wouldn't we? Banking and all the stuff that we have gotten so dependent on. Maybe we're setting ourselves up for something. Today in the first reading, this is just a wonderful reminder as we kind of prepare for Pentecost, which is coming up in a few weeks, that the early church had some tensions as it grew. And so there was favoritism. You know, the Jewish people who were the chosen people were not distributing the daily goods to the Hellenists, the Greek-speaking people that had joined the church. And so they had to address that. And they prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit guided them and said, set apart seven men who are filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a criteria that we always want to have. And set them aside for this special ministry. And that began the permanent diaconate. So that's a reminder for us that as we face problems now, and we're not, it said daily that the Lord added greatly to the number of those who were being saved and part of the church. We're going in the opposite direction, right? So on Wednesday, we had a big meeting here with the Archbishop and all the priests of the Archdiocese about the future of our parishes and closing them down and building new ones and all that. I wasn't here, but I had some spies who gave me a report on what was shared and everything. But there are going to be some tough decisions that are going to have to be made, and we have to really see in this first reading that, hey, God provided for them, for the situation they were in. He's going to provide for us. He's a good God. Amen. He'll take care of us. We just have to pray and be discerning in the power of the Holy Spirit, what's happening and everything. Then just lastly, that last reading from John 14, the most popular funeral reading. I mean, I do that more than any other reading when somebody dies and has a funeral, because it's so comforting to know that God has prepared a place for us. And in our reading says, you know, there are many dwelling places. The Protestants get a mansion. Their version says a mansion. I'll take a shed. Just as long as I'm there, it's probably better for me not to have something large like so unorganized and everything. But he's going to take care of us. He's got our back. And he doesn't want us to be in a fear or panic. And we don't have to fear death anymore because Jesus has gone before us and paved the way so that we can have everlasting life. And that is a very, very consoling thought. Amen. He's going to take care of us. He's got our back. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through some difficult times, but his love, his power is greater than all the challenges we're going to face. And that was another takeaway from the Holy Land. He's got our back, and it's all good, except for the jet lag.